In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the hosts are joined by reoccurring guest Gabe for a frank discussion on blogs, articles, and posts regarding being a bear. From fat shaming to belly loving, we talk about labels and choices when it comes to this thing called being a bear or cub. COL 281 starts now. October 12th, 2014. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
That makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 281. And today we have another special guest, or a special back returning something guest. We have a guest.
Hi, my name's Gabriel.
And today we've got a interesting topic for the show. But first, let's... that doesn't look like much is going on. So we'll just go right into this. And over in the Bear Underground group, we had somebody post, Zero Cub says, "I love this podcast. I'd just like to thank you guys for making slow days at work bearable."
So. And okay. You're quite welcome.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he spelled the right bearable. I think bearable is supposed to be B-E-A-R-A-B-L-E. And he did B-A-R-E.
B-E-A-R.
So it sounds like he's naked or something.
Okay, at work, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It happens.
Sounds good.
Jeff's naked right now, right?
Absolutely. I've completely got no clothes on. Hold on.
Don't look, Sonnet. Don't look.
Oh, I'm sure she's quite familiar. In addition to Bear Underground, we also got some likes on Facebook. We want to thank Andy Pomeroy, Audie Edwards, David Johns, Jody Koenig, Joe Piros, Jeremy Johnson, and Stephen M. Egan for their likes.
Thank you. We appreciate that very much. And it looks like that's pretty much all we got to start the show off with. So we'll go right into the topic about, well, Gary, this is your topic.
Oh, thanks. So here's the thing. I noticed probably about August that suddenly my Facebook feed specifically was kind of filling up with shares of articles, blogs, things just talking about bears or bear adjacent, I called them. We'll talk a little bit more about these, but for example, there were articles about that men who are heftier or have a bigger belly make a better lover. Men that are fat are a turn on for some people. As men age, they fall in love with bears. There was a Huffington Post article, interestingly, that stood out to me called "What a Bear Looks Like." And some of my friends actually submitted photos for that. I just found it very interesting that there seemed at that time to be kind of this, I don't know, not media frenzy, but a lot of awareness. And then looking through them, I found out that some of these articles are up to 4 or 5 years old. And it just is like, I guess, as people discover them, they kind of post and put them out there. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, do we think bear awareness is on the rise, meaning beyond within the gay community? Like, do we think more and more there's recognition of this gay male subculture that is bears? And how, if so, how does it relate? Do these articles make sense? All that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So anything in particular of that cornucopia of area to discuss, Gabe, you want to start with?
Well, sure. here's one thing that I've ended up coming across is I've actually found myself explaining bears to people more whenever I get to that point. I mean, I have the nice little standard thing. Well, husky hair, you're homosexual, gives you the general idea of what they are. And I even had a lesbian who said, who didn't have no clue what a bear was. And I'm like, what? Think being a lesbian, you would. But I don't know. I haven't really seen this happening, honestly.
I would agree. And I'm in the Midwest, okay? And, like, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio. Okay, not so much Ohio. I got another story about Ohio in a second. But I will say that more and more people that have never met a gay person, when I say something about a bear, they know exactly what I'm talking about. So they've heard of him. I don't know if it's because there was an episode on Two Broke Girls where there were bears that were discussed. I'm sure people went immediately to their computers and looked it up and then had to turn off their parental, lockouts. But I think that definitely in the last 2 years, I've been able to say, bear is a subculture of the gay group or gay subculture, and people are absolutely, oh yeah, right, I've heard of them.
And how do you feel when people know what you're talking about and you don't have to explain it, or you can stop explaining it?
I think that's good, because then I could tell whatever the story is or wherever I was this weekend. And the people at work have discovered that when I say I went to a leather event, they're like, well, that's nice. And they don't really ask any more questions. When I say I went to a bear event, they're like, ooh, what did you guys have to eat? I'm like, well, this pool party. They're like, yes, but what did you eat? Because they want to hear about the pool party or the dance. But the other thing is that I always, when talking about the bear groups, always spin the fundraising part in. I don't know if I feel like I need to do that, but.
I think, well, do you do that with the leather event stuff?
Yes, I always, actually, so yeah, I guess I do. And I do it when the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are at an event. I talk about them and the fundraising that they do. So, yeah, I guess most of the time I do. If it really was like an event where all it was hang out and relax for the weekend, it wasn't so much about a fundraiser. I'll talk about how a bunch of friends and I got together and rented out a hotel and spent all our time eating and drinking and watching movies and playing games and having a good time. But as far as the bear perspective or the bear addition to that or description of it, I don't feel I have to explain who the bears are. They're a group of guys that are bigger, we're hairier, and there's those of us and the people that like us that go to these events. But I do say 99.9% of the time, it's all men. So.
Right. Well, that makes sense. So coming off of that, I'm thinking in terms of the articles. The one that really kind of hit home for me, and I consider it bear adjacent, was the one that I think is titled, "It Gets Better Unless You're Fat."
Yeah.
It's okay. I was just going to say the author talks about how the It Gets Better campaign, while a good idea, is also kind of an interesting perspective piece, that if you're not thin, tan, muscular, like he points out what those of us in the gay male culture are aware of, but he basically calls out and says, if you think you're struggling now with your identity and your sexuality, do not expect it to be this joyous day at Disneyland once you come out, because you're just gone through the first, these are my words, the first gauntlet now you get into the real, you know, competition, which is you get into the landscape of the gay male culture. And, you know, if you thought society was judgmental, wait until you meet the gay man who has an opinion on everything and will let you know immediately where you stand, so to speak, in terms of like the way you look in your body size.
Well,
which is partly where the bear subculture kind of broke off from, where the idea, because I believe Chess gave a good post about the history of the bear subculture, and it started with Girth and Mirth, which was about the gain fat, and from there it's like, look, just because of your size doesn't really matter, you're still gay and somebody's gonna find you attractive at least, so you're beautiful in your own way, etc. But I think when everybody thinks of, you know, coming out and being gay, they don't think about that. They think about the twinks and muscle boys and such like that.
I have two responses to that. The first, or to the whole situation. The first one is that when Gary's talking about, you know, when don't expect to be Disneyland, when you come out, there's still, you know, more things to come out about. I think that for human beings in general, that's true. I think that for gay men, we took the time to do some self-examination and recognize that we're gay, so we came out. I think that when a straight person who doesn't have to come out as straight encounters life and people that are judgmental, I don't want to say it's easier, but they have a set of expected behaviors to fall back on, and people sort of ignore them. They don't have to come out. They can stay in the background as long as during the day or they're following their, you know, required protocols, and no one's gonna notice. Once you've come out as a gay man, then you're in gay culture, and there's this expectation that you're gonna have to fit in somewhere, and so you do some more soul searching, and you're gonna have to come out as something else. What's interesting is the number of people, I mean, you don't hear about the people in the gay culture who come out, and I'm perfectly happy being the gay man. I don't have to be the drag queen or the bear or the twink or the troll or the, I don't have to be any of these things. I'm good at who I am. And I feel that originally when the whole bear culture started, it was about those of us that didn't fit in to anything. So I'm just going to be myself. Oh, you're one of those guys over there who's a bear. Okay. And then I find that I've found the people physically attractive in that group. So that's how that went. I have something else I want to talk about, but I wanted to see if anybody had any response or feelings about that.
I kind of along the same idea is when I was in college and just coming out with my college friends was like, it's Jeff. It wasn't that I was gay. It wasn't that I was having a goatee or anything like that. It was just, that's Jeff. So whatever it was just me. So it ends up being perspective on some other people being, other people being judgmental, being like, no, this person belongs into this group, and starts categorizing people. So, while I can kind of understand reasons for categorization, there you can't really set them in stone. Like, if I'm using something to identify somebody, like a, well, there's this big bear, or there's this young cub, or something like that, is the way of me kind of making a description. But I've said plenty of times before, if you're going to label what you are is what you label yourself, not anybody else. Mm. So somebody could be a 50-year-old and consider themselves a cub and they have cub-like things, but they're old. So what? They're still a cub because they said they're a cub. Or there's a 22-year-old bear, not a cub.
So. I completely agree. 90% of what you are is what you say you are. I really believe that.
Gary, did you have something?
No, I will say this. Rarely do I disagree with Gabe on perspective.
All right, so you mentioned Chess's post in Tumblr, which I'm sure that we're going to be linking to at some point. Mm-hmm. And he had, he admits quite clearly and fairly he's not a historian. But I think that he has a lot I think he's correct in a lot of points. But one of the things that's not said out loud, which is kind of a downer, but I'm going to bring it up, is he talks about how, the Bears didn't fit in. And then, he talks about going and checking out the AIDS crisis. And he talks about Bears being popular because it's a sign of virility and masculinity. It begs to be said that Bears enjoyed a large amount of popularity because they didn't look sick during the HIV and AIDS crisis. Because nobody knew what caused it, nobody knew what the signs really were, but we could see someone who was sick. But if someone's, got a healthy belly and a big beard and they're virile and drinking beer at the bar, then surely they can't be sick. And I honestly believe that the thin aesthetic of the twink, or the really cut and ripped and very low fat content on the gym guys, and the reflected poorly, is you don't know if that person's sick or not. But with the Bears, oh, this guy's big, healthy, masculine guy. Surely he's healthy. And I really believe that that's a part of how Bears started.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that in the history, it contributes to where we are now as to, I guess, within the gay male grouping. The popularity of Bears, I think that definitively the HIV and AIDS situation that really kind of made a big dynamic impact on social relations and options and sexual practices. And I don't say that to mean that, guys who saw, hefty guys immediately thought they were negative and that they could, bear back till they passed out. That's not what I'm saying. But I do agree that there was something about that there was a tie-in. There's no way to kind of not say that they were on a Venn diagram overlapping each other. But that's the interesting thing about this article that I was referring to earlier, is that, this gentleman's pointing out, as part of the coming out process, even though he's come out, he still feels out of place because he gets all these comments and things. And one of the interesting things I found was that he explains, and I'm going to read just the one paragraph from the article. I find it interesting. And he says, "I can't speak for all gay men, but I can tell you what I have faced as an overweight gay man. I can tell you that when I lost 15 pounds due to depression, a well-meaning older gay man told me I had done the right thing because my only other option would have been to gain weight and become a Bear." And I was like, wow, that's really – that kind of it hits a nerve in a way. And that really speaks to the physicality issue. And how people focus on that aspect of things.
Also, why does he need to gain weight to become a Bear?
Right. And I think that's the bigger thing, that this is what people struggle with. In my 15 years of being in the Bear community and being involved with the Bird Bears for a good majority of that, putting on the run for 10 years, being a person who's kind of, I guess, a leader within the local community on that level, the hardest thing to answer is the question, what is a Bear? Because people want an easy answer, and to me, there isn't such an easy answer. And it's kind of funny because Chess's article, and the reason why we keep referring to him is it just happened recently. And for those that don't know, Chess actually is now a Bear title holder. He entered a competition and he won, which we're very happy for him about and congratulate him. Mm-hmm. But he makes a point of saying that Bear is at least as much about attitude and what you do with it, versus how you look or a physical feature. And I was really glad that he came out and said that in the article, like that there's a duality, or you could make it singular. I have a former friend that I was close with for a good number of years that would say to me every now and then, he's like, well, I'm a bear, just look at me. And I would be like, that's not the point. I'd be like, just because you have the physical attributes of a bear, yes, you're over 6 foot tall. Yes, you have curves. Yes, you have facial hair and, you know, those type of things. And you look good in leather and denim and that kind of stuff. Like you can dress the part all you want, but that doesn't technically make you a bear. I mean, and yes, you can label yourself as a bear, but that's where I struggled, because I tried to explain to him. I was like, if you think you're a bear, you're a bear. And he would just look at me with this kind of puzzled look on his face. At least I thought that was what I was interpreting. And that's because this whole attitude, personal perspective, I think is a key piece of it. And we've kind of discussed it before on this podcast. I mean, we've talked about men that are, you know, in their 50s and 60s that consider themselves cubs because of their personality and their outlook.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that kind of struck me going back to the article that I was quoting, was that he was being told by an older gay man, well, if you put some more weight on, you'll be a bear. And that's the part that kind of bothered me. I was like, I agree. Why does he have to put weight on? Like, why do you have to? Well, I already know the answer. Well, I was about to say, why do you have to box him in? But, you know.
Well, yeah. And the same thing is why does the perspective from the older person was, oh, well, you need to find a niche and you'll be happier. And this is a niche where you don't have to worry about your weight. I was in a bad mood when I read this article, but I was like, you shouldn't, you know.
You get flabbergasted.
I know I'm idealistic, but, you know, you shouldn't want to be a bear just because it's easy to blend in and not work on stuff that bothers you.
Well, and,
you know,
and
being a bear is not a form of therapy.
And the article almost was flabbergasting me because of some of the things he's been hearing and some of the things he'd been told. It's like he was really trying to get into that mainstream gay culture, and people were misinforming him left and right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could look like a bear, but not necessarily be part of the bear community.
Right. And Vince Smith.
Right. And then you've got the people like Tom Goss. He's a bear. Mm-hmm. He's part of the bear community, but he's a skinny little twink. But he loves the bears.
And yeah.
And you know what? I welcome him with open arms.
Mm-hmm.
So saying if he lost 15 pounds due to depression, no, he didn't do the right thing, because he lost 15 pounds due to depression. And
knows that. I mean, he says that clearly he knows that it wasn't a healthy way to do it. He says that.
Correct.
But with the older gay man saying you did the right thing, really?
Yeah, you're right. He did not. Yeah. Bad thing to say.
Well, that revealed two things to me. One, it revealed to me that the person who made the statement had no idea why he lost the weight. Or I'm going to put an addendum on that little statement, they're an idiot. Like, and yes, I'm being opinionated, but that would really piss me off if they're an asshole. And even though they knew why he lost weight, they would still make that comment. I'd be like, you're a jerk. Like, go away. I don't have time for you in my life. Like, why would you dare say to somebody who's gone through depression and lost 15 pounds that it was a good thing? Do you know what I mean? I think that's really callous and inappropriate. But
Of course, I'm a fan, especially with the skinny people who says he's a sandwich.
The 9 Reasons I Like a Bear article was very similar for me, in that what he was talking about was, I like the bears because as I get older, I don't have to work on myself to look the way I want, and I can just fit in with another group. Well, that's true throughout your entire life, but it kind of makes me feel, it makes me as a member of the community calling myself a bear, that we're like the dumping ground. And I remember being really proud to become a bear because, you know, I didn't fit in anywhere and these guys didn't care. if I didn't fit in anywhere else. And it wasn't about, again, what Jeffrey's talking about, it wasn't about, you know, whether or not I had hair or beard or was bald or whatever. It was more about, hey, we don't fit in either, so let's create our own space.
Yeah, the nine reasons list, it's from a website called gaylifeafter40.com. Mm-hmm. I found it interesting. I don't take a disagreement with the list, but yeah, there's some ups and there's some downs.
Well, and he does this ethnocentric thing where he's like, idolizing the bears as like the noble savage. You know, we all get along really well, and we all go sit and drink and watch football, and we all, you know, they're cuddly and they're introspective and they'll listen to what you say. And as we all know, there's as many different types of bears as there are different types of gay people in general.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. Gabe, do you think that this list of nine is too idolizing? Like, it's almost like a media PR release, in that if you were to go out and ask, if you were to go to, say, five different gay bars, five different bear bars, quote unquote, across the U.S. and show them this list and ask if they agree with the list, do you think many people would actually point out what we're discussing now, which is this is not all encompassing?
Well, you also have to consider that this specifically says, I like bears on a personal level for nine reasons. This is the reason why the writer likes bears.
Good
it's
point.
Not necessarily the reason why everybody does. People can disagree with some of these things or don't see that certain aspect, but this is the reasons why he does. And if somebody comes up to him and says, well, why do you like the bears? Well, here's the reason. One, I don't see anything in his list here about hairiness, baldness, withness, or anything. I mean, he basically makes it all encompassing. Bears accept themselves and are confident. They like to socialize. They like to drink with each other, and most prefer not to participate in drugs. Bears look tough on the outside, but are so loving on the inside. These are really his personal reasons. This isn't necessarily any group of people's opinions. So,
right. I understand what you're saying, Jeffrey, but my point is, this list is, while it's specific to him, it really, to me, speaks. I don't know anybody that would take issue with this list,
mm-hmm.
except unless you feel that it's not broad enough.
I think that if you went to bars and asked the question, what do you like, what are the top three things you like about bears, you would get a lot of the answers on this list. I agree with that.
Well, and there's a few comments he has on his, like, they like to talk with each other and not stare at their cell phones.
Okay. Yeah, that one I kind of laughed at. I was like,
are you sure?
I was like, I've been guilty of that, and I've seen it happen around me, so I'm not quite sure how accurate that one is.
I do like in his wrap up, he's like, bears are simply men who like other men. They're not trying to mimic a male female relationship. But I'm like, oh, I think that's a really sticking point. I think it's good.
And I disagree with it.
do you now?
I do, because it's too, even though it's personal, it's too specific. It is not all encompassing. Do you know how many gay bear couples I have come across? And if you met them, you would be like, this one, if you were to break them in heteronormative concepts, this is the man and this is the woman. This is the one that takes care of the house. This is the one that takes care of the blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? Like, takes care of the car. Like, I don't care. Like, yes, we try not to mimic male-female relationships, but I'm sorry. Gay relationships, same gender relationships,
well,
at times – very much like fall into the roles that we maybe buy into, believe in, we're comfortable with, whatever you want to say.
But are they trying to do that?
I sometimes think
aha!
So.
See?
I sometimes think so because they make me sick. I don't like being around those bear couples. I'm just going to say it. Like,
right,
I'm like, great, you're June and Ward Cleaver. Ah, gross. Anyways.
I don't think that that's bear specific, though.
No, that's true. That type of relationship stylizing, I guess, or
what
whatever.
What really did excite me, though, was the photo, the article, it was all the photos. The people
the
identified.
Huffington Post?
I don't have that. It's people identify as bears and listed a whole bunch of. Everybody would put the hashtag on there, what's a bear?
Correct.
Yep.
They're sending a little love to all the men who identify as bears or cubs or wolves or whatever. I thought that was the best one because it was really hard to find any. There was a little bit of continuity with some beard, so with some facial hair. But other than that, they just the only correlation that I that caught my eye on all of them was how proud these people were to of how they looked and willing to put themselves out there. And I don't think it's narcissism so much as, oh, yeah, I call myself a beer. Here's a picture. Here's a picture. Here's a picture. I don't think it was like, ooh, I can get jump on the bandwagon and say that I'm that. And that's what I mean. It was a whole variety of people. And not everybody had facial hair, but some of them did. Or most of them did. And it was, I really liked it. I liked the fact that it was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it interesting. A couple of my friends, that's how I found out about it. They were like, I'm going to be on Huffington Post because they, you know, are including my picture in this thing called What a Bear Looks Like. So I saved the link. Mm-hmm. And that's really what prompted this idea of this podcast, because I was like, oh, well, that's a very intriguing concept, you know, to discuss what a bear looks like, because as much as we try to say, you know, being a bear is a self-chosen label and it's about attitude, the reality is that as a species, we are very visual. So there is a factor of that no matter what you want to say. And it doesn't matter what your sub-breakdown is. I mean, if I was to ask Gabe to look at two pictures and tell me which one is the butch and which one is the lipstick lesbian of the two, he'd probably be able to do that because it's just the way we are. We can see things, so mm-hmm. to speak. So the idea of a pictorial grouping of guys that are like, you know, this is what a bear looks like. I agree. And to be honest, there were some that I was proud of the pictures that I think people would be surprised by. Mm-hmm. For instance, the gentleman that had the fancy goatee.
And the contacts.
Yeah, the contacts and the hat. I'm trying to think what was the other one. There was another one. There's a young guy with a very, like, baby face mm-hmm. Kind of deal. There was a group of guys that were, like, long-bearded standing around. I mean, I definitely think that the pictures that they posted, whether they posted all that they received or they selected from, they made a good set of choices that made me realize that it wasn't just you know, the same thing I see over and over again.
Right.
Same. Oh, and the other one was the one where he's wearing the makeup and the IV.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if it's a headdress or a wreath or what it is.
Some crossover with the Radical Fairy kind of thought. And,
Yeah, I love the fact that he said more of a dandelion, which I thought was very cute and funny. But what a bear looks like. I was like, yeah, I mean, I think that's highly representative of the – there's a lot of different folks who fall into that. And there's different ethnicities, ages, sizes, locations. So, yeah, and that's the thing that got me thinking about it is like, oh, is there more awareness now than ever of the bear community? And are we moving away from the for a time I felt, especially being involved in leading the club and stuff, I got the impression that there were guys that were like, oh, I love being with the bears because they're so much fun and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like there was this kind of euphoric bandwagon, like they jumped onto it. But if you were to ask them what a bear is or to do things representing mm-hmm. the bear community, they would not commit, not show up, and not know how to answer the question.
Jeff hasn't talked in a long time, but unless he has something, I have a comment on that.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I think that the bear community is finally getting a taste of what happens with the leather community. in the leather community, there's a clear set of groups that not everybody falls into, but it generally is talked about as old guard and new guard. Old guard being the group of people who started doing leather 20, 30, 40 years ago, and things are done a certain way. And then you have the new guard, because there's new people coming in, and they're doing things for completely different reasons, or for their own reasons and not the same reasons the other people did. And they're doing it without as much scrutiny or without as much persecution. And so they're doing things differently. And I think that the bear community is definitely starting to experience that. So people that have been bears for 20, 30 years, or the community that's been around for 20, 30 years is now aging, and the new people coming in are making different decisions. And so it's going to evolve and change. It's not going to continue to remain the guys at the beginning of the HIV crisis who didn't fit in with anybody else and started hanging out. It's going to change. And part of that is going to bring in people who are on social media and who are more visible. And therefore, the bears as a group are going to be more visible.
Hmm.
Okay.
Deep. Just like how it seems like with the internet, everybody is getting more information than they used to without it.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, this thing pops up here and there from a post to whatever. And they find out more information. It's like, what's this whole bear thing? And then they do a little more research. Maybe find the bear code or something like that.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, Jeff, because I liked that Chess brought that up in his historical recap in his blog post. But it made me laugh because it did have a place and a time. I did have a bear code at one time, and I fucking don't remember that. But the interesting thing to me is that, like, it really shows how technology changed the landscape, because there was a time when we didn't get to where we are now with technology, that everything's very visual. Apps have pictures and video and Facebook, I mean, all that stuff. You know, before it was IRC, and, you know, it was text on a screen, and that's all you had to work with until you met in person, so to speak.
Right.
I think an improvement to some bear sites should be, they should add in a bear code generator, as well as
decrypting code ring.
Flag handkerchief hanky code thing. Where you can go through, you do your bear code, and then there's this next section about interests, and you select left or right, and then just along the sides of the site on your profile, they have the colors for, like, whatever's on the left goes to left, right, or both, and then have the bear code right underneath your username.
Good.
And then you can mouse over the colors to see what it means.
I think you see a need.
Ian, get on that.
Well, the funny thing is, we were just mentioning about the bear code, and I don't know, maybe I heard this and you didn't actually, one of you did not say the hanky code specifically, but
that's interesting. That's what I was talking about.
Well, I thought so, but the funny thing to me is, I was focusing on the fact that a mutual acquaintance / friend for Gabe and I, mm-hmm. just posted on Facebook, if you saw it, Gabe, where he was like, is it this entertaining on a Saturday night to be reading articles about the hanky code or something like that? Like,
yes,
it made me giggle. I was like, yeah, some people would do that, like, but other people mm-hmm. have no idea what the hell that's about.
I remember bringing up the hanky code to someone at work, and he a straight guy, and someone had seen something that he had in his pockets. And it was an old, you know, those red rags that you use in the auto shop.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those, but it had been washed so often that it had faded to pink. And he was wearing it in his right pocket. And so they were like, oh, wow. It was a lesbian who's like, hey, you're wearing a hanky. And he's like, what? So he quietly walks over to my desk and asks me about it. I'm like, okay, go to this website, but not safe for work. And here's another website, and I sent him one on dildos. He's like, you ruined everything.
Wait. Why did you send him to the dildo thing? I'm confused on that.
So he's flagging pink. Right.
Oh.
Pink is dildos. Oh.
You're mean.
I know I am. We're going to create a new hashtag. Hashtag Gabe don't help.
Oh,
hashtag help not help.
So I do have, I know that we don't have a whole lot of time, but I wanted to talk about the science confirms bigger bellies, better sex. Well, A, I knew that. And B, it says, so let's say a guy has sex 100 times annually. I'm like, wow, he's either straight or in the middle of nowhere, because I have sex way more than that, don't you?
They were just throwing out a random number, and actually, no, I probably have less than 100 sex lessons.
That's only once every 3 or 4 days.
Okay, wait, I'm not gonna define sex. You can't throw that out there, Gabe, and be like, dude, you know.
Okay.
Is sex being intimate with another person?
Maybe I'm thinking of masturbation as sex. So
okay, because if we're including self pleasure in the broad umbrella definition of sex, then mm-hmm. yes, definitively this article is so far off the mark about 100 times a year. I'm like, are you kidding me? Most men I know get off once a day, if not multiple times a day. Thereby, mm-hmm. 100 is so low as a number. But I think what they were referring to was intercourse, about a man actually penetrating. So thereby, I would be on the side of nowhere near 100. Sorry, not nope.
Same here.
Mm.
Which is, I think, the point of the of what the study was about, is that men, and here's what it comes down to. I don't even want to get into the science of it. It's really simple. Heavier men take longer to have an orgasm. Part of that most likely is because they're heavier. It's really simple. Like, they have more heft to move. It's more physical exertion, mm-hmm. and thereby it takes longer.
That's and it's cardio.
Which bears are not known for, necessarily. Right.
But now.
And in that one article, the one that's from Queerty, it has photos of guys with bellies.
I don't even want to talk about it.
So,
I don't even want to talk about it.
All right. So here's the funny thing.
Okay, you don't have to talk about it. Me and Gary will talk about this.
Go for it.
So I think there's maybe one or two guys that actually have a belly in there.
Well, actually, I think the majority of them do have a larger waist, like size. But notably, there is only like maybe one or two that our standard host panel would find attractive and you know, have fun with.
There's a guy in his underwear on the really, really, really big bed. A lean back bearish guy, mm-hmm. which I like, which I would consider his belly. Everybody else, it's just they just don't have a six pack. You can't see a six pack.
Been away from the gym for a week. Did anybody see the picture at the top of the article with the guy in the blue shorts with the measuring tape? Wasn't this that article?
Yeah, and that actually is a belly of what they should be referring to there.
Well, that is kind of funny, because the way the measuring tape is laid, that person has approximately a 64-inch waist.
Which doesn't look right.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, it makes me laugh, because I'm like, there's not a single person in this photo set that looks anything like that.
Like that, exactly. Sensationalist reporting again. Oh, my God.
Dear.
I like the first comment I'm seeing on this one. It was back March 9th. So from Glitter Bear 253. Next time, how about some real bellies? We've got a couple of guys with bellies here, but get real. Most of these guys are barely bigger than average.
Yes. Well, it's funny, because on that website, there are two different articles. One is from September third of this year. It's a more recent one, which is more about the research that was done, the scientific research that was done in Turkey that came out with this, that astoundingly overweight men last 5 minutes longer than thinner guys. So that's where it kind of comes from. There's that. And that article is the one that uses the picture that you just described, Jeff, as mm-hmm. their main image.
Yep.
Which I was like, there's nothing wrong with that picture. Like, it's probably the best of the pictures from the other article, which was photos of guys with bellies that supposedly drive some people bonkers. And that's the article you just read the thing from. And I agree with him. He's just kind of like, I don't know if they actually have bellies per se. But yeah, it's very interesting. So that particular article I know made the rounds with my bear friends. They were all like, damn right, which made me laugh. I was like Gabe said, we already knew this, so it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, but I don't think it's necessarily that we last longer. I think that's a plus.
You know, I can't say for certain because I never paid attention. I cannot say with any.
You lose track of time by what's happening, right?
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. This was something I never paid attention to. I never processed and said to myself, "Oh, tremor built guys, get off faster!" Like that, it never occurred to me. It was not something.
Okay, next time you're getting it on. Once it goes in, start a timer, a stopwatch. You know, pull out your iPhone, go in the clock app, click stopwatch,
okay,
and then once it penetrates, you hit start.
Sex. Mm-mm.
It could be right on the table, on your end table.
I could just hear the guy at the bar. He kept saying 1-2000, 3-2000, 4-2000.
See, this is why you have the stopwatch. Then you don't have to count. You can focus on the act, man.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I have to agree that the concept of stopwatch sex probably is a turnoff for people.
Look, this is for science.
I don't care if you call it for science. This is not Masters and Johnson or the Kinsey study, kids. I don't think that's how this is going to go.
Well, here's
down.
The thing is, and if they're just talking about, like, okay, so they penetrate in 7.3 minutes, they're going to come on average. Okay. Sure, but how long does the sex in general happen? Because sex isn't just about wham, bam, thank you, man. Come on.
Well, that's 7.5 minutes for the first time, right? Because then the second time takes longer, but the third time is shorter.
Okay. That's also another point. Repeated things during the same session. You know, how long does the actual session last? Because, you know, sex is more than just penetration.
But I think for the purposes of the scientific study, they timed from the moment of penetration to ejaculation, which speaks to what is common wisdom / butt of jokes in heteronormative terms, that a man lasts less than 3 minutes. That's where you get like the jokes about the two pump chump thing, that straight men just can't, like, the moment they get in the vagine, they're done. Like,
okay,
they just,
so we figured it out. That's only for those skinny bitches. Us fatsos, we're gonna be down there. We're gonna get it on like Donkey Kong, man.
Nice. I think that, you know, that was the whole point is that, and then there was another thing that I didn't see, so to speak, from the study or the articles, but came to mind was the reason why he lasts longer is because the belly's in the way.
Oh.
or what about the person who's on bottom? I mean, if somebody's big enough, they might have a pretty deep crevice and it might take a bit to get in there.
Oh, that's true.
Are these people knowledgeable enough about positions to work with that? And, you know, is the person on the bottom being a starfish, like a doomy bear, or are they involved in it, or?
See, there's other factors they're not considering in this. The reason so the average time isn't 7.3 minutes, it's like a half an hour just to get the right position.
Yeah, but to get money for a grant and for scientific purposes, they had to come up with some kind of measurable thing. So take it with a grain of
salt. Okay, okay. So before they got to that point, they found the most optimal position to do this in. And then it kind of throws things off because sex also has to be pleasurable in certain other ways, which doesn't mean that the same position is going to work for everybody else.
Right.
Well, I found flaws in this. Not that I don't agree with it. I find flaws, but that's all.
So for those that are interested, Jeffrey is interested in recreating the study on a personal scale in which you can offer yourself to be a subject of the study, and we'll report back later on how that goes.
I would be okay. I would be okay with you and your partner going at it, and I'll just watch, and I'll have a stopwatch to, you know, I might have to get in close to watch as it's happening.
I insist that you wear a white lab coat.
Do I have to wear anything underneath it?
That makes it some clinical game. I don't know.
Which makes it kinky, right?
For some people.
There you go.
Now, I will admit, if you were wearing scrubs, I would feel very different than the lab coat.
There we go. I'll go with the scrubs. I kind of like that idea. Or I could do both, scrubs and a lab coat.
Wow.
That's
definitely went in different directions than I was expecting.
All right. So why don't we go to this?
Well, here's the thing I want to say kind of in wrap up. The UK article, which I think, Gabe, that was the one that you kind of added to our list.
Uh-huh.
It's much shorter than the rest. It kind of gets more to the point of discussing what bears are about. But the interesting thing I thought was the second paragraph to the bottom where they say, a big issue in contemporary bear culture is just how much chubbiness is acceptable. Old school bears had no problem taking a bit of extra on board as they were comfortable in their own skins. With the rise of muscle culture, both in the straight and gay worlds, younger bears are spending more time in the gym, bulking up with muscle mass. And there are now two very different approaches to bearism, which are not particularly compatible. Now, notably, this is an article from the UK, so I want to point that out and discuss it in terms of, I don't know if that's true in the US. I'm not negating it, but I found it insightful that seems to be.
Let me actually point you to one thing. Bear City 2.
Yeah.
Bear City 2, there's the pool scene where it's the fat guys on the one side and the muscle guys on the other side. There's a big split in the community.
Well, notably, that's a film that was made for entertainment purposes, and I think that was done strategically because it is something that happens within the community, just not that drastically.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been to a pool party and seen, you know, a group of 20 muscle heads on one side of a pool and a group of, you know, 20, you know, big-bellied boys on the exact opposite side of the pool, per se.
And it was fiction.
Yes, but it was trying to represent an issue in the culture. I mean, yes, it is an exaggeration of what they're talking about here, but it's not something that's just in the UK.
Right. No, I'm not saying it's unique to the UK. I'm just saying culturally, I found it interesting that they said that there's this kind of two incompatible points right now. And I just was like, but then again, like I try to explain to people when they're like, oh, well, you know, this country is so progressive. And I'm like, well, it's because the country over there is equal to a state over here. Like, come on, like, let's keep it in size perspective. You know, England or the UK, granted, a United Kingdom is multiple countries. But I mean, that's like saying the northeast section of the U.S.
I also have two problems with this article.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of them, they mentioned near the end here, what says, there's even a band, the artfully named Bear Force. No, it's not Bear Force. It's Bear Force One. Jesus Christ. Can't you get the name right?
Do you think anyone searching on the internet is not going to find Bear Force One?
No, I'm just saying that they should at least have it accurate in the article. Anyway.
Okay.
The bear community has a particularly creative set of terms for different types of bear, including cub, a younger bear, Ewok, a bear of shorter stature.
Oh, I use pocket bear.
But polar bear and older man is here as very gray, and of course, Goldilocks, a female friend of bears. So, has anyone ever heard anybody refer to a pocket bear as an Ewok?
Yeah,
I have. Yes, especially in the geek circles, like at the cons, some of the cons, I've heard that.
Really?
Yes. And Gabe,
I would never call anybody a Ewok.
Well, good for you, Jeffrey, because at my run, it was said actually at my roast by one of my dearest and closest friends who has referred to me as an Ewok for several years now and gets great titillating delight in saying that. She thinks it's hysterical. Because it was one of the first things she ever said to me when she actually met me in person many years ago. She was like, oh, my God, you're like a little Ewok. And it's stuck ever since then. So she thought it was apropos, hilarious to say this at my roast in front of all of the bear community that was at the run.
Yes, but that's special.
Oh, no. She's not the only one. I mean, she does it that way, but
Ewok.
I think it's minimal in usage. I agree with Gabe. Pocket bear is probably the more American preferred reference.
All right. Now I'm going to have to ask, going to have to put a shout out to all you bears from other countries who listen to this show. How often have you ever heard of the term Ewok, or this podcast, the first time you've ever heard anybody refer to a bear of shorter stature as an Ewok?
I am very intrigued to know if we get responses on this one.
That's interesting.
comesoutloud@gmail.com. Shoot us a message or send us a message on Facebook or something. Post into the Google Plus page or the Facebook page or in the Bear Underground group.
Yeah, so I think we're getting towards wrapping up the discussion. The thing for me that I thought was best, kind of encompassing or a well-said statement, actually did come from Chesson's article where he said, being a bear is just like being in love. No one needs to tell you, and in fact, no one can. You just know it through and through. In classic Chess Fasten, he says, from balls to bones. And after all, if bear was just furry gay dudes with beards and bellies, then all of the bulky queer radical fairies out there would be bears. But they are most decidedly not.
Do you know he was quoting the Oracle from The Matrix?
You said that? Before that, correct.
Mm. Mm. And it was the Oracle from The Matrix that said balls to bones.
Oh, well, he didn't put it in quotes. I'm just reading it the way he posted it.
Balls to bones.
But yeah, so he I think that he makes the point of saying it really is about a self-label kind of assignment. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a label. It can be a way of life. That's something that I try to explain to some folks. They know if they see my living space, I don't have a lot of bare things, quote unquote, in the form of like decorations and home decor and all that kind of stuff. Other people do, and that's fine. One of my dearest friends of many years now, in my personal opinion, is a little overboard. I don't love them less. I just don't agree. Like when I go into their home and everything is bears and it's black bears and it's like, you know, hunting lodge. And to me, it's a bit much. I'm kind of like, okay, I get it. You like bears.
Not my aesthetic, but there you are.
Right. And I think that's a way of me saying that, you know, there's all sorts of individuals and they apply it in various and different ways. You know, how they ascribe it. You know, some people take the bear pride flag and the bear paw iconography to different levels, you know, tattoos, body art, clothing, attire, you name it. Other people go the, you know, anthropomorphism way and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think it's a big world. There's plenty of individuals and places and things that everyone can fit into it somewhere along the way.
Okay.
So, any other thoughts on the topic?
I think we got it covered. So let's go into this. This. Why are you not doing the thing? Ensemble for you. Ensemble for you. Ensemble for you. Ensemble. Moving into our perverted portion of the show, Gabe, what do you got for us?
I have two that I've called self-reflection, because there's two types of reflection going on here. The first one is this handsome, I find him incredibly handsome, man. It's a little bit out of focus and fuzzy. Like there's steam in the room. I would like to think he's in the bathroom and just got out of the shower and is cooling down. He's got some hair on his chest, clearly. He's shaved his head before. It's growing out a little. He's got a well-shaped beard. He has these amazing tattoos and this big chunky silver bracelet on. And it doesn't actually show anything below his waist, but I think he's just this incredibly sexy guy that's reflecting on something that just happened.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
It is nice.
I'm trying to get the image to open. My doc kind of like got stuck or something. It was being okay. Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
His ink is really intriguing.
Yeah.
It almost looks Greek.
But there's like some Native American, Athabascan kind of feel to the backside of it.
Yeah, it's the image in the middle on the shoulder point there that I'm focusing on makes me think of something like I would see like on a Greek vase or it's very unique and individualistic. I don't think I'd see it anywhere else.
Right.
And what's your second one, Gabe?
Also self-reflection, but it's my favorite activity. it looks like there's this guy who all you see is from the right below his nose, the upper lip down to his chin, and it looks like he's kissing a mirror. And it speaks to my narcissism and the fact that I think that kissing is some of the sexiest stuff ever.
And it actually, you can't even tell if there is a mirror there or if that is actually two guys.
Yeah,
but it's very much looks mirrored, but then again, I can't tell that there's a mirror there.
Well, here's the reason why. It's not a picture.
Okay, what is it?
It's a painting.
Is it really?
I bet the house that it's a painting. Looking at it, I was like, wow, this is really cool. But I start paying closer and closer and closer attention to the detail, and I'm like, it's very photorealistic, like crazy photorealistic, but I don't think it's an actual picture. I think it's a painting, like either acrylic or oil.
In any case, it's hot.
Yep.
Yeah, it most definitely is on that side.
And next we have something fun. So there's these... Crazy Cubs, there's the Island Beef and Island Bear or something, the Island Cubs or something on XTube or something. And, hold on.
So, yeah, the thing that we discussed before the show about this picture is the material.
Yeah, he's got a mesh underwear. And the first picture is that probably the cutest because he's just lying on his belly and it's got this bear paw on one of his cheeks. It's cute.
It is cute.
Yes. I don't know. It's interesting to me. I don't know what function the underwear serves, I'll be honest.
Well, in this case, it would more be fashion and, holding things in place that underwear normally does. It's not meant to hide anything.
It breathes.
Yes, very much breathes.
Yeah, but maybe, I don't know.
I believe that it would be uncomfortable underwear to wear, but it does look really good on him. Mm-hmm. I will be honest. He looks good in this.
Yes, he does.
He does. It does look good. I'm not going to disagree with that.
And it fits. It's not like it bags or stretches or it yeah. Okay, I'm just going to look at the first picture for a little longer.
Okay. In the meantime, Gary?
My submission for a Tumblr pick this week, it's actually titled "I Have a Seat for You." Part of the reason I picked it is because the guy's wearing a football jersey and no pants. But I picked it because it's football season and men in football jerseys are kind of hot. So,
yeah.
This gentleman
happens to be. You wouldn't mind sitting there.
Well, maybe. It's difficult to tell. He doesn't look like he's in bed. He looks like he's in a chair. And I have this thing about chairs don't support the weight of two men very often very well. But yes, he notably is fully at attention. And he, you know, is offering that someone can have a seat in his lap, which is perfectly fine. Because he's a good looking, full bearded, bald gentleman bear with a very large erection that he's enticing people with. So, yes.
And you'll notice aesthetically that the member lines up fairly well with the number one, and it's very well together.
Because that's what we do, Gabe, when we pick these images. We're looking at for the artistic integrity of what was posted.
Well, I do have to say, though, he does have a belly, unlike some of the guys in some of the photos we were looking at earlier today. And I would call him a bear. He qualifies in my book.
Yeah, to me, this is what I would find sexy. Like if I was gone from home because of work or shopping, running errands, something, and I came home and my partner was just, you know, at home wearing nothing but a football jersey. Yeah, this would be a definite sexy turn on thing.
And that's it. And that's the show. So after the show, I'm going to have to describe to Ian the what would be the best way to have bear coats and hanky coats on bearunderground.net, where you can actually go and join the Cubs Out Loud entourage right there on Bear Underground. You can also go to our website, cubsoutloud.com. Shoot us an email, cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Join the CLL entourage over there, as well as following us on Twitter, twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus, google.com/+cubsoutloud. There's also the CLL entourage group community in Google Plus. Also, go over to iTunes, give us a review, 5-star, 4-star, whatever it is. I'll read it on the air, verbatim, whatever you put in there. Also, if you listen to us on Stitcher Radio, give us a thumbs up. We'd appreciate that very much. Find me anywhere on the internet. It says Box, Tap Box, Puppy Box, Cub Box, something or other.
You can pretty much be found anywhere in the known intertubes as GearBear73.
I am MrMajors@gmail.com, and I'm on Bear411, although I don't check it as often as I should, as K-Y-I-N Sater, Kentuckiana Sater.
And with that, say goodnight, everybody.
Have a good one.
We're all madly typing away.
There.
Not madly typing. We're doing my Tumblr.
That they apply to the Hankies show at the top of their profile. File with the appropriate colors on each side, and people can mouse over, click on them to find out what they mean.
You know, what we didn't talk about was, like, KJ, for example, is, I would consider him a bear.
KJ?
Yeah.
Who's KJ? I'm not following.
Oh, KJ Nichols. He's a trans guy up in Boston. He competed International Mr. Leather a couple years ago, and he's a really, really great guy, and I would consider him a bear. He feels he fits in real well. See if I can find a picture.
Some might say that... I forgot what his name is. That's really sad.
There are plenty of hot FDMs.
Yeah. Damn it, I completely forgot who it is. There's a trans porn star.
Buck Angel.
Yes, thank you. That I would say most people would probably find in some senses when it comes to the visual aspect.
Mm-hmm.
To be relatable or part of the bear community.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop recording now.